Turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. We're coming up to the end of this series of teachings. And today, it will be personalized. Romans, the 12th chapter. This is titled Overcoming Evil, Part 3. Romans 12, 11 through 13 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, rejoicing in hope, patient in suffering, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. I've been spending the last couple of weeks, hopefully, to reveal how evil our thought life is and how evil our flesh is. And today, I'm going to give you some tools, because the Apostle Paul has given them to us, in which how to overcome evil. Let me preface this by an incident that has just happened that has directly affected me and my wife. My mother-in-law has allowed my nephew to come into the house. He is a liar, he is a thief, and he is a junkie. We knew this and we did things to protect ourselves, but we didn't go far enough. And what had happened was, since he has been here, and he has been here a week, that I suspected that he was doing something, but suspicion is not enough to confirm anything. And what I suspected was that he had stolen a set of my keys and used my vehicle, my truck. Well, that suspicion has now been confirmed. He not only has used it once, he has used it several times, of which we confronted him yesterday. And of course, if anyone knows about junkies, they will lie, they will steal, they will cheat you, they will do anything to support their habit. And so what had happened was, yesterday morning, Irene had asked me if I had backed around her car to take my truck out. I said no. And what had happened was the truck was pulled into the driveway in such a tenuous angle that, I mean, you either had to be drunk, high, or didn't have the ability to drive a vehicle. And so when I went outside and I saw what was going on, it had immediately confirmed my suspicions that neither she or I had driven it, but he did. Mind you, he has no license. He was not given permission. And we confronted him immediately. To say that I was angry is an understatement, because I'm still angry. And in overcoming evil, I must set the example before you, but describe to you what it is in this violation of trust that has transpired. When an individual who has been caught in a trap lies to you and looks at you like you're the one that's crazy, it makes you wonder how this person thinks. And granted, no rational person would do things that they do. And so what we've had to do is we have had to take further precautions because of me not thinking far enough that this individual would do what he did in taking my vehicle out, which I praise God that nothing happened. There was no damage to the vehicle. No one so far has gotten run over. There was no accident. No one was killed. But the violation is still there. And I am going to take even further measures, legal if I have to, definitely I will take measures up with the police to at least put something on record. You see, when we overcome evil, the evil is that we don't return this evil, because we must be spiritual people. But we must also use wisdom in what we do. I can honestly tell you that if I had succumbed to my feelings and emotions, I would have reverted back to the nasty person that I was, and we would probably have a murder charge against me right now. Because homie don't play that game. And so, I am betwixt, because of my love for Jesus Christ, I am at war inside myself. And this is what happens with all of us. We want to take vengeance on people, but we don't know how or what the tools are in order to walk in righteousness. We don't know how to really conduct ourselves in righteousness. The law was given not for the law abider, but for the law breaker. And all day yesterday, Irene had been ministering to me. But the bottom line is, I need to do what I need to do to protect my family and my possessions against this individual. And so, I am going to take further steps, needless to say. But one of the things that we have to understand is that whatever happens to us, whether directly in our workplace or in our families, this is an attack of the enemy to get us off course. Okay? Remember I said he will attack us in three areas. Okay? This is an attack. God wants to see how I will respond with this attack, as small as it is. And to be truthful with you, I have been agitated in spirit for well over a week, ever since this individual has come in to my proximity because of my mother-in-law allowing him into the house. And she knows what he's about. And I personally have an issue there because she, I feel, is an accessory to everything that goes on. But I constantly look at what Christ suffered. I constantly look at what He had to go through. How I have perpetrated the same crimes in acts of disobedience and rebellion against my Lord. And Paul says here, he says, be filled with zeal. Don't let your spiritual fervor die out. And for a baby Christian or a nominal Christian, this could be something that could flip them and say, you know what, I don't need this. As Nolan used to say, I need my pound of flesh and I'm going to pound it into yours. You know, that's carnality in its worst. Because you see, what if I take matters into my own hands, I'm not letting God do what He wants to do. I'm not God. I have to surrender my will to what's going on here. I need to also use wisdom and protect myself, my possessions, and my family from this individual and those who are contributing to allow this behavior to go on. But I must let God work things out in my life so that I do not repay evil for evil, as we see later on in the Scriptures. If you read further down in Romans 12, it says, at the end, do not repay evil with evil, but evil with good. And this is what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out, for me personally, how this violation has come about. It's not something I've done. You know, and all of us can say, well, you know what, I didn't deserve this. I didn't want this to come on. But I refuse to play the victim here. You know, yeah, I was victimized, but I am not a victim. I refuse to allow this individual to try to intimidate me in a way that takes power from me. It just isn't going to work. And so my zeal for God, and knowing that God is in control, knowing that God has got something good for me, that even out of this scenario, there's something good that's going to come out of this. Whether I change a little bit more, or my nephew gets saved. finally get saved. Something good is going to happen. And I must keep focus on that. In the meantime, I must not lose my spiritual fervor. Now, zeal is enthusiasm for serving. Fervor, spiritual fervor, is having the love of the saints in such a way that I want to continue to serve. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickednesses in high places. And I must stay focused on that. That those demons that are influencing this individual has now come to rest at my doorstep. And how I respond, not how I react, but how I respond is going to speak volumes to everyone that's watching us right now. And I must tell you, truthfully, my old self, I would not have had a problem. I would have been on him like white on rice, and I would have made a mess of him. I would have pulled his head off his shoulders and looked inside to see what is not there. And I wanted to yesterday. Believe me, I wanted to. Did you ever feel like that? That didn't suffice either. I felt like that pancake being pressed down, shaken to overflowing. But have you ever felt that way? Have anyone near to you done something like that? That was brazen. I cannot lose my zeal for God. I refuse to lose my zeal for God. I refuse to allow Satan to use somebody against what God wants to do. Because he who is greater in me is greater than everything else out here. And I have to believe that. And I do believe that. Now, the sting doesn't stop. The pain from it doesn't stop. Those things are real. And all of us will experience those realities. What comes out of it is an air of confusion and emotionalism. Because we want to first be reactionary to that thing. Someone has done something, we want to react to that. When the reality of it is Jesus said, it's okay to sin. I mean, it's okay to be angry, but don't sin in that anger. And so, I wrestle with this. I wrestle with how not to sin, but conduct myself in anger. And I think I'm better. A little bit. When you go through these struggles, and your emotions are flying off the handle and all, think about the zeal that you have. Is it going to knock you off the tracks to keep you from fulfilling your destination? Your destiny that God has created you for? Are you so small in spirit that once it happens to you, you stop serving? You stop being involved with God? You know? All of us would say, I don't need this stuff. But this is where we're going. These are the individuals that God has died for. He didn't die for the righteous, He died for the unrighteous, of which I'm one. I am one, and I need to reveal Jesus Christ to Him. As believers, we know we have been called by God, according to Romans 1, 6 through 7. And that from Romans 12, 1 and 2, God has laid down a challenge to us to live as a new creation. And according to Romans 12, 4 through 6, it is now time for us to put into practice the gifts and talents and all the abilities for building the body of Jesus Christ up. If we think back last year when we crossed over the River Jordan, spiritually speaking, now, today, is the day in which we need to utilize our gifts and abilities to reveal Jesus Christ in spite of the warfare that we are enduring or we are in the midst of. In spite of it. We must maintain our zeal. We must maintain our spiritual fervor. We must fulfill the commission that Jesus Christ has given to us. And like in any physical activity, there is going to be fatigue. This thing has been wearing on me ever since he has arrived. My spirit has been in agitation ever since. And have you ever been in the presence of somebody, you just don't know what it is, but man, they just grate against your spirit. I know what it is, and it grates against my spirit, which makes it even worse. Because we're to pray. We're to do battle. Not only for ourselves, but also for those who need Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes we forget. Now, I think this is a wake-up call for me personally. That, you know what? All of us can make rash judgments and all of us can say simple things and pattern certain things. But when it comes and rests at your doorstep, what are they going to see? Are they going to see Jesus Christ? Or are they going to see you and me? And yesterday, I'll tell you what, it was real close in not seeing Jesus Christ. Very, very close. As I said, with fatigue, when we're exercising and doing all those things and working and serving and busy, yeah, we're normally going to be tired. But what happens in that, if our cart is knocked over, do we maintain a spirit of apathy in this tiredness? Apathy is an attitude of, I just don't care anymore. It's all about me. I don't care about you. I don't care about you. I care about what's going on with me. And right now I'm fighting that spirit too. But it won't have the victory. I have the victory in Jesus Christ. I already know that. It's just a matter of getting these emotions under the control of my spirit, which is under the control of the Holy Spirit, so that Christ can arise from me. I am willing to go into the wine press and allow God to squeeze me a little bit more, crush me a little bit more. Because it doesn't matter. Because out of this, I want to be more like Christ. But if I lose my zeal for Him, if I lose my spiritual fervency of service to you guys, this has all been for naught. It really has. And it's not my reality. And I pray that it's not yours. If I give in to the spirit of apathy, then I open the door to other demonic forces like depression, discouragement, disillusionment, any other spirits of negativism, bitterness, resentment, revenge. And all of us, at one time or another, have or will taste this part of life. And it's been a long time since I've had something like this. A personal assault against me. An assault against Irene and me. I have been so focused on taking care of God's flock, I have not prayed for myself. I have not prayed for my family. I've prayed for you. And we have to understand that as I cover you in prayer, do you cover me in prayer? You see, we're in this thing together, whether we like it or not. We're in this thing to the end of time. I cannot afford to give in to these spirits. I cannot afford to give in to my personal assault. I must be about Father's business, as you must be. As you must be. And so we must overcome the evil that's within us and also the evil that's out there. But we cannot overcome outside unless we allow Jesus Christ to arise within. So it makes sense. The full potential of the Godhead dwells in me. I can choose whether I allow Jesus Christ to come from this tomb or I can allow the dead carcass of Gary Stiles to come forth. How do we do this? How do we overcome? How do we maintain our fervency, but yet not give in? How do we maintain our zeal, but not have an apathetic attitude? Rejoice in hope. What's your hope? As believers, we should always be looking to the future. My hope is not that my nephew gets saved. My hope is that my salvation will come to him. My salvation is Jesus Christ. My hope is future. As we know out of Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Hope is always future. I can't be worried about the past. That's dead and gone. I can worry about what's going on here in the middle, but my hope is always in the future. I must work while I'm still alive today. And so I do rejoice. I rejoice that no one was injured when that vehicle was taken. I rejoice that the vehicle wasn't damaged. I rejoice that he didn't just drop it off someplace. I rejoice that God protected part of my possessions. Because definitely I didn't do a job on that. I must rejoice in God my Maker. I must rejoice in Him. He is my hope of salvation. He is my hope of future. He is the person that I have to. And if I am so focused on my little pity party, I will not rejoice in Him. And I have been rejoicing in Him. Which is the only reason why I am not as angry as I was before, because I just think about what God has done, not what He has could have allowed. You see, it's real easy for us to look at the circumstances and then blame God, but really we need to rejoice in God, in Him putting His hand out there to protect something that we have not received. We're so busy complaining about what we're in that we have not seen what God has kept from us. Amen? And so we need to rejoice. How do we rejoice? By thinking about God, thinking about what He has done, thinking about the future. What are some of the things I think about? I think about walking on the streets of gold. I think that God has a palace for me to live in. I think about the rewards that He's going to give me. Like, being with Him forever and ever is not enough. You know, everything else is really puny in comparison to Him and His glory and His awesomeness, His great awesome love, His great grace that He has given to me. All this and much more that I have never experienced. So for me to get caught in my little pity party is not worthy of who He is and what He has done for me. And so I rejoice in my hope, which is in Him. Next thing is to be patient in our suffering. Turn to Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Jesus told us, He said, that we will enter the kingdom through not a little tribulation, but much tribulation. And when we have these testings, and when we go through these trials, and we go through these tribulations, sometimes it's a matter of sin, but all of it is a matter of God's doing to get rid of the sin in us so that we can exude Jesus Christ. As the word came forth today about the sweetness of Jesus Christ coming from us. That's what we're looking for. That's what God is looking for in us. Romans 5, verse 3 to 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You see, as I allow God to press me, He's actually pressing me into the image of Jesus Christ. You know, you guys who do cookies and you have those cookie presses, when you take this lump of dough and you put it down there, it looks like junk, right? Don't have any form or nothing. But then when you use this cookie press, you put the dough inside of it, and I've watched Irene do this, you know, and she has this little tip on the end, and it makes all these wonderful. came out of it was formed into the image of, what do you call it, a template. We're being formed into the image of Jesus Christ. And what is contained is the character of Jesus Christ within us. Do I like having to go through this? No, I don't. Do I have to? Yes, I do. But my Savior walks with me. He talks with me. He'll lead me into all victory, as He will with you. And I'm sure Kwaki and Rashima, in the things that they're going to experience, and some of it is going to be pleasant, and some of it's not going to be pleasant. But I have complete confidence in God that as they lift up their hands, say, Daddy, take me through this. They will go through it. And when they come out the other side, they'll look a little more like Jesus. There's a song out that I heard the other day. It says, one of the verses says, you look a little more like love every day. You look like the face of love every day. God is love. And if I can exude more love and patience through this so that my nephew can see Jesus Christ, maybe he'll come to the place of repentance. But God wants us to be patient because He wants to produce this Christ-likeness in us. He is going to work out the details. So for me to flip-flop like a fish out of water is not going to do what God wants. I must be patient and realize that my future is contained in God. What He wants to do with me here and now is whatever He wants. I cannot control it. It is beyond me. And believe me, every time I try to do something in my life, I've really messed it up. When I started lining up with God, something wonderful all of a sudden started to happen. And I'll tell you, I cannot afford not to stay in the Word of God. I cannot afford not to have this relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the moment I stop is the moment I've reverted back to the beginning. And believe me, I want it to so bad yesterday. I wanted to. But I counted the cost. I knew that there was something going on. And Miss Holly, I love her. Pastor, how you doing? And all I could do was grunt because I didn't have a word. That's all I could say. The Holy Spirit was praying through me according to Romans. You know, the word's so deep that it had to come out in grunts. But it was the truth. No, I'm not. No, I am not. But I am learning. I am a student of God. And I am a friend of God's. That's another song I want you guys to learn. I am a friend of God. Amen. I want us to get that into our spirits. Let us let God do what He wants to do. And this is what I have to be patient with God. I can't, you know, part of me, like I said to some of the guys this morning, I have this devil on the side that wants me to just, don't worry about it. Nobody's going to see. God sees everything. And jack this dude up. I mean, not only jack him up, but bust him up. And I am very capable of doing that. Then I have the Holy Spirit on the other side saying, let love emanate from you. Let me just touch his heart. And I'm thinking, let me touch him with a baseball bat. Aluminum at that. Because I don't want it to break or shatter. That's wrong. It's an evil attitude that I've had. But I don't want you thinking that I'm this super spiritual, super Christian out there. I wrestle with the same thing that you do. Maybe not the same things, but I wrestle with attitudes. I wrestle with how to conduct myself properly before God and before His people. Did I ask to be put here? Heck no. I've responded to His call, and I am learning all the way. It's not jingle all the way, it's learning all the way. Oh, what fun we're having tonight in a one-car open sleigh. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering. Another tool is faithful in prayer. How many of us are praying? Catch God on the fly? Think a ticket, God. I got all these other priorities. But the trademark of a true believing Christian is an act of prayer. It's a life that where our strength comes from. If I am not sitting before the Lord, I would not have had the strength to suppress my fallen nature. It would have overcome me, and I would have been no better off than the heathen. But I do pray. I want to be more like Jesus Christ. I want God to be glorified in my life. I don't want this carcass to get in the way, although it does. I want Jesus Christ to be exalted, and I must spend time with Him. The trademark of my maturing in Christ, and any maturing Christian, is time and prayer in the Word. How many times have you heard me say, it's not how much of the Word you know, but how much of the Word knows you? In other words, what are you living? Because, you know, you can try to fool me, but you can't fool God. This is a perfect example. If I was a phony baloney, I probably would have lost it. I probably would have succumbed, because that's the easy thing to do. And my strength is not because of me, it's because of Him, restraining my carnality to want to take vengeance on Him. And God, I tell you, I had the Holy Spirit throwing scriptures in my mind. At the same time, I have Satan throwing scriptures to justify why I should. And this is the battle. We have learned that nothing good dwells in my flesh, it is sin. And there's nothing but garbage in my soul. That's why I need my mind renewed. And the only way that my mind's going to be renewed is find out what the Word says, then put it into practice. And if I had not been practicing my faith each and every day, I would have succumbed. I'm telling you, I would have succumbed. I was angry. Believe me, I was angry. But I must be faithful. My strength in prayer gives me substance to my joy. And because I'm patiently waiting for God to bring completion into my life, and I'm only going to be complete when this is the last time I go, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I'm not going to be complete because the Word says when I leave here, I'm not only going to see Him as He is, I'm going to be as He is too. I will be complete. I will know what He knows. I will see everything. And I think that's a problem with us. We tend to rely on our physical eyesight to see what's going on. I didn't see this thing coming. My spirit was trying to tell me. And I was listening to what was going on. But God, in my preparation, I didn't prepare far enough. And we could prepare till the cows come home. If God wants to bring a lesson forth, He's going to bring a lesson forth in our lives. It's how we respond, and response brings our character of Jesus Christ. As the leaders are saying, you know, it's not how we do things, it's who we already are. I must release who I am out. I must be crushed to allow Jesus Christ to come forth from me. When I'm able to do that, then I'm able to do the next thing. I'm able to share with God's people in need. I'm sharing with you personally what I'm going through. I don't know too many pastors that would be as transparent as I am with you. I don't. Maybe one I know. Because their training says that you should keep the flock away from you. That you should not allow the flock to know your personal life. I don't subscribe to that. I believe that I want to be embraced by the flock. I don't want any odor but the odor of the flock upon me. I want to smell like sheep. And there's a book out, Smell Like Sheep. They smell like sheep. It's leadership. I want you to love me for who I am, not for who I'm becoming. As I love you and accept you for who you are. But if I maintain that theological separation, And all pastors do this. I don't care what denomination you're in. They can try to be as transparent, but it's only so far. It's only so far that they'll let you come to their house. It's only so far that they'll break bread with you. It's only so far that they'll come and visit. In spite of what was going on, we had hospital visitation yesterday. We missed one. We had to go to their home. Thank God we did. Because it was fun. Because I had a chance to build a toy with Dylan. And the other one, she was up in a hospital and she was so thankful. It gave the family a chance to go and catch a break. Because she's a tough nut. She's one of these old Christians, boy, Peg. And she's a tough nut, man. And she come there and she just brightened up. And the two sisters that were there, they went out. They let us have about a half hour with her and all. I could have let that incident destroy me serving and praying for somebody. I could have allowed that to stop the flow of the Spirit. But I chose not to. I chose to go through this. I chose to let God use me in spite of what's going on. What's stopping you? What's stopping you? You've got all power from the kingdom of God dwelling within you. What's stopping you? Now, I'm not asking for volunteers to give me an answer. I'm just hopefully provoking you a little bit. I'm able to meet needs. I'm able to be used of God in a way that meets needs. I'm able to allow God to use me in spite of my circumstances, in spite of what the enemy is throwing against me, in spite of how I feel. Feelings have nothing to do with it when it comes to the Spirit. The Spirit controls everything. And what reality is it? You know, if we have a gift of prophecy, but we have no love. If we have a gift of giving, but we do it without love. If we show hospitality, which is the next thing. Showing hospitality. Not only do I help proceed to meet needs for people that are in need, I must show myself hospitable to those people. And Christian hospitality is a lot different than the social entertainment that we do. We like to have people over and have fun and games and, you know, the whole nine yards. Social entertaining, the difference between social entertaining and Christian entertainment is social entertaining has everything to do with the host or the hostess. We're inviting a gang full of people over. We're going to have all these games. Make sure the kids are all dressed up and make sure the house is looking right. Make sure we're wearing the right clothes. Make sure the house is nice and neat and clean. You know, put all the diapers and stuff away, you know. It's focused on the host and the hostess having all the right stuff so that when the people come, the food's prepared properly. Oh, we have abundance of food and drink. We're going to have a merry old time. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Oh, phony baloney good times. Christian hospitality deals with the needs of the saints. How can I meet your need? It has nothing to do whether my house is clean or not. You know, I can have laundry all over the place. How can I get you fed? How can I get you a warm bed? How can I get you a shower? Need clothes, this and that. I mean, some of you guys... No, I've actually tried to do that with you guys. And sometimes we really needed to get a kick in the pants sometimes to get our stuff started. It doesn't mean we didn't love. We just didn't have enough resources to continue to help. It's no fault of our own. But what we have, we need to share. We need to give so that people can experience the love of Jesus Christ. If anything I've said to you guys has touched your heart, I invite you to come up for prayer. And we'll pray together. To ask God to have His complete work. I can't tell you that you're not going to go through this because you are. One way, some shape, some form, you are going to go into the wine press. And it's not because you've done something wrong. And it's not because God doesn't love you. He does. But He is about bringing the character of Jesus Christ out of your life. I invite you to come forward now. And we'll pray. The rest of you don't come up, you're liars. And we'll pray for you. And we'll pray for you. I'm teasing. Because I'm real. I'm tangible. You can touch me. Ow! But I want to encourage you guys. You know, we're going to go through this. It's important that we complete our chain here. That we complete our prayers one for another. Because as I go, the next ones that will get hit is the leadership coming up. After that will be you guys. And I want you guys to withstand the storm. I want you guys to be strong in the Lord. I want you to rejoice in the Lord. I want you to be patient. I want you to have hope for your future. I want you to maintain your zeal and fervency, your love for each other. Not withstand this by yourself, but as we go through this, we lock hands with one another and do this thing together. You know, and that's the fallacy of the church, is that I can do this. I can go through this. I don't need anybody else's help. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I need your help. I need your help and your prayers to help me go through this, so that as I reach behind and pull you guys along, you guys will go through it and look a little more like Jesus. Amen? Amen.